Blog Talk Radio.
For so long I was silent, for so long I did not have a song of praise. Depression filled my days and clouds blocked my way, but there was a voice speaking to me, awaking the passion so quiet in me, in me. So still in me. Lay here and give up, no. I choose to worship right now. My mind is made up. Is that your voice calling me into that secret place with thee? My heart is long for longing with thee. I choose to worship. Do I have anybody in here tonight that chooses to worship? I know sometimes it gets bad. I just can't lay here and give up. I choose to worship. Just say it with me, come on. I choose to worship you, Lord. I choose to worship right here in the midst of everything that I'm going through, God. Tears running down my face. Don't know where to go, don't know, have nobody to talk to, but I've made up my mind I'm going to worship you in spirit and in truth. I bless your name. I glorify you right now. I'm desperate for your presence, God. I'm coming after you. I'm a living witness. He'll heal you. Yes, he will.
He's healing me. I'm going to worship.
Come on, I need everybody in here to help me do it right now. Come on. He's healing me.
He's healing me. I'm going to worship.
Come on, I need you to lift yourself up out of that mess that you're in right now. Come on. Some of you have been down so long. Come on, make up your mind right now.
I'm going to worship.
I can't lay here and die. I gotta seek after him. I hear his voice calling me right now. He's healing me. I'm coming to you broken tonight. I'm coming to you wounded tonight. I'm coming to you right now. I need your presence in my life. I'm gonna worship. Yes, I am. He's healing me.
I'm gonna worship.
Oh, he's healing.
Everybody,
Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we have no other choice but to be happy and rejoice therein. Amen. Once again, we welcome you to New Destiny Ministries, a time of reflection where we are empowering souls for destiny. Amen. You were listening to I Choose to Worship by Wes Morgan. Amen. We all have a decision. We all have a choice. And that's why I love the God that we serve. Amen. He don't force you to do anything. He can force you, but he allow you to have your own free will and make a decision. What would you like to do? Today I choose to worship God. Amen. I worship him for who he is. I worship him for his sovereignty. I worship him because I haven't found no one else that I know that I can depend on, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstances is. Amen. God is a present help in the time of trouble. Amen. When you call on him, he'll answer. Amen. He may not answer right then, but guess what? You can always be assured that he has your best interest at heart. Amen. So once again, we thank the Lord for another opportunity to be in the land of the living. We thank him for his mercies being renewed every morning. Amen. We don't wake ourselves up, people of God. We don't even know what the next minute is going to be like in our lives. But because of God's grace, because of his mercy, he chooses, amen, to renew his mercies each and every morning. And I'm so glad that I was on his mind this morning when he decided to wake me up. Amen. I don't take it for granted. I don't even take the opportunity that God blesses me with each and every day to come on this line and share the good news. And the good news is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The good news is that we have a Savior that cares for us. The good news is that he's still in the healing business. Amen. And we have been having a wonderful time with this topic, healing for our issues. Amen. I can remember Bishop Graham being with us once before, and we were talking about healing in our relationships. Amen. Now we're talking about healing for our issues. We have all kinds of issues that we have to deal with on a daily basis. Life isn't something that we can look to that will be without issues. We'll have issues until Jesus comes. Amen. But learning how to heal and how to deal with these issues in a positive manner, that's what we're seeking for. Amen. And we know from Genesis to Revelation, there is something for every situation that life presents to us. If we get in this Bible and let it be our roadmap, amen, we can find help in the time of need, in the time of trouble. Amen. So we're just so happy to have with us, visiting us again, and we don't look at him as a stranger. He is family. We have come to love Bishop Jesse E. Grant, Tabernacle of Faith out of Evanston, Illinois. He's a beautiful man of God that love God and love God's people. Amen. He's been married to one wife for over 43 years. Amen. He is a father to adult children, and he's also a grandfather, and he's also a shepherd and a visionary. Amen. So we're just so thankful for him taking out of his busy schedule today and come and share the word of God with us. He always, I tell you, there's never been a time when he's been on this line to share the good news with us that we have not received something that would transform our lives and something that would help us in our daily walk. Amen. So we're excited about him being here. I'm always excited about him. Amen. And if many of you all that are on Facebook, if you're any of our friends, amen, you can also find Bishop Jesse Grant at Bishop is Just Talking Out Loud on Facebook. Amen. And he's always feeding us something positive, amen, something to stir our minds up where we would always be grateful, amen, to God, amen. So we're happy to have him with us today. So we're, with no further ado, we're going to bring him right on up, and he can open up in whatever manner the Lord allow him to go forth in on today. Again, we're talking about healing for our issues, amen. So God bless you, Bishop Grant. Love you.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Certainly it's always a joy and an honor and a privilege to be able to share with you, my beloved friend, and to your vast listening audience. We're certainly humbled to be asked once again to come and to share the word of the Lord with these thy people. Your theme has been burning on the altars of my heart ever since we communicated, and you've asked me to come and to share it. Before we begin that, as always, we want to acknowledge the throne of grace as we enter into prayer at this time. Father, it's in the precious name of Jesus that we come to worship, to honor you, and to give thanks unto thee, for thou art the God of our salvation, our great deliverer, our healer, our emancipator. We thank you, God, for this blessed privilege once again to be able to come and to share with this audience. It is our prayer, God, in Jesus' name, that you be glorified, that Satan be horrified, and above all, that your people be horrified. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would hide us now behind the cross, that you be glorified, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. For this we humbly ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let us go quickly into the word of the Lord on today. Your scripture background for your theme, healing for our issues, is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4, beginning with verse 23 and concluding with verse 27. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and preserve lips, but far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all the ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Just so that we have a little bit of clarity about the book of Proverbs, Proverbs basically is a practical, moral, and spiritual truth which is presented in proverbial form for the people of God. Solomon was declared as being the wisest man that ever lived, and certainly there is a tremendous amount of truth that is to be found. I like to call it absolute truth. There are many truths in the world today, but the absolute truth, the authentic truth, the unequivocal truth, the unquestionable truth is always contained in the Word of God. And any time that you embrace this absolute truth, it is without shadow of a doubt that it is going to be life-changing and life-transforming. One has to embrace the Word of God, not just from the standpoint of just reading it, but to actually applying the Word of God to every area of your life. And so when we look at the text that's at hand, we have to understand, beginning again with verse 23 of the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Above all, keeping guard the heart from going astray, for out of it are the issues of life. The reference here is not to the arteries which carry the blood to all parts of the body, but also to the evil and the good deeds that come from the heart or the center of man. Your heart is considered, both from a natural and a spiritual standpoint, it is the source in which all things flow. From the natural standpoint, it is the heart that pumps the blood. Whatever is then deposited within the bloodstream, it is then carried to the various different parts of the body. Oxygen is carried, nutrients are carried, vitamins are carried, all the things that help keep this body moving forward. as it relates to the way that God has created it, flows through the bloodstream. It is pumped out through the heart. So from a spiritual standpoint, it works in the same fashion. So one has to understand that the nature of the heart or the work or the mechanics of the heart are designed physically to carry everything that the body needs, and also from a spiritual standpoint, it does the same exact thing. So this great man of wisdom gives us to understand that when one keeps the heart from evil, it is an easy matter to obey the other commandments of the passages, which are also found, and we're going to get into that. We must understand how the heart works, again, both naturally and spiritually, so I'm not going to take the medical opportunity to explain how the heart really works, how it pumps, and how you have main arteries and so forth, but I think that all of us understand how the heart works, and certainly when the heart is malfunctioning, then the body begins to break down. So, again, it is with you spiritually. So, but I want to lend the time that we have available to us to dealing with the spiritual aspects of what the heart really, in actuality, really does. It now leads us, and we're going to come back to Proverbs, but now it leads us into the Gospel of St. Mark, verse 7, wherein we find these words beginning with verse number 17. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? Verse 20 says, And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulterers, fornication, murderers, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. It's clear that we have to understand that it is the stomach that receives food, and then it is then the waste of the matter is then excluded out. It is then turned into waste, and it is then exhumed from the body. So the scripture gives us to understand that it is not what one takes into the belly that defiles them, because, again, let's say hypothetically that you eat something that does not agree with you. The body will reject it. It will not receive it. It will regurgitate it. It will excrete it out of your bowel system, especially if it's contaminated, if it is something that is not good for you. So the text is clearly giving us to understand it is not what one receives in that contaminates, it is the heart. It's what lies in the heart. So what has to be recognized, what's in the heart, again, is very clear in verses 21. For from within, out of the heart, means there is a flow, there is a continuous flow. Once again, if you understand how the heart pumps, how it plumps all of the blood and what's in the bloodstream, your nutritions, your vitamins, all the things, your oxygen, everything that's needed to maintain the physical body is then pumped through the heart. Well, by the same token, from a spiritual standpoint, whatever is in the heart, it then is carried out through your actions. So you have to guard your heart. You have to understand true source of sin and righteousness is contained in the heart. So when the heart is corrupt, the life and the conduct will be corrupt. Oftentimes we ask the question, how can people do the things that they do? You have to understand the nature of lies within their heart. Why is there so much corruption? Why is there so much evil in the land, so much mayhem, so much mischief, so much murder, so much violence? And in more recent time, why are children being raped and ravished? Why are infants being killed and destroyed? It is because of what lies in the heart of that individual. How can people lie? Because lying is in their hearts. So once you begin to clearly understand why people do what they do, it stems from what lies within their heart. The reason that there is so much evil in the land, it is not coming from without, it is coming from within, coming from within men. Evil men begin to devise evil and wicked ways. By the same token, good men with good hearts devise good things. So it works contrasting one to the other. So we have to clearly understand why all of this evil exists. How did it first? It began when there was a breakdown after God had created Adam and Eve and into that establishment and that relationship. Then the Word of God goes on to say that all now are born in sin and shaped into iniquity. So we come with a sinful nature. There is nothing good within the heart. That's a very profound statement. I want to come back to that as we progress forward. But when you clearly, precisely understand that all of this evil that it perpetrates the land is devised from the wickedness that's contained within the heart. By the same token, all the that we see that people do, it has to come from the heart. So as whatever is contained in the heart becomes expressions of the way we conduct ourselves by virtue of what we say, by virtue of what we do, by virtue of how we live and conduct our lives, is a primary example of what exists within the heart. So let's move forward a little bit more. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulterous, fornication, murders, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. So we're dealing with healing issues. So before I get too far into that, I want to give us to understand even some deeper things. The 13 sins that damn the soul. One is evil thoughts. They include evil surmisings, imaginations, devising, wanton, lustfulness, lasciviousness, thoughts, and mind activity not brought to the obedience of Christ. When there's an absence of bringing all of those kinds of conditions activity under the obedience, unto the obedience of the will of God, bringing them into captivity, not allowing them to run rapid within us, destroying them, bringing them down, casting them away from us, excreting them from our spiritual heart. So all of these things, the evil thoughts. Now, let's move forward. General wickedness, jealousy, hatred, invading responsibility, false witnessing, factless decisions. How many times do we make decisions that are based upon the avoidance of concluding the facts, gathering or ascertaining all of the facts? Are made based upon emotions. They're not based upon wisdom or intellect. They're not always based upon how we fully understand the facts that are presented. We just do things sometimes spontaneously, as it were. Sometimes we do things based upon how we feel, rather than to do what is right and honorable and which will, in fact, give glory to God. Many times we do things from an impulsive standpoint, and they can come back to haunt you. So now let's move forward again. Murder and rape, surmising, judging, plotting to kill, covetedness, pride, evil imaginations, false security, vanity, foolishness, cursing rulers. Worry comes from the heart. False accusations, pride, and outward religion. That's why the Lord had to get on the Sadducees, the scribes, and the Pharisees, because they were very religious people, and they were so proud of their religiosities and many things that they did to be seen of men. We have to recognize and understand that as believers of God, that everything that we do, every single solitary thing that we do has to be done so that God gets the glory. We should not do it to obtain recognition and honor based upon the views of others. We do it so that God gets the glory. It's a privilege for God to use us. It's a privilege to be saved by the grace of God, and that we can give glory and honor to God by the way in which we live. The Apostle Paul would tell us that, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then verse 2 of that same chapter 12 and verse 1, verse 2 says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when you understand that whatever you do, whatever God allows you to do it based upon his grace. So if he allows you to do it, then who should get the credit for it? Certainly not the one that's doing it, the one that gives you the opportunity to do it. So everything that we do, we must do and say to give God glory out of, even down to the way that we dress, the way that we conduct ourselves, the way we interact with one another, the way that we treat family members, friends, coworkers, our neighbors, strangers on the street. Everything must give rise to the God that is within us, provided that God exists in you. Okay? Now, if God does not exist in you, then as we move forward in this message, we'll show you how to get God to abide within you and you abide with him. Paul says, we live, we move, and have our being. When you establish that thought in your mind, put that thought in the core of your existence, in your heart, that it's in him that I live. There is an abiding, there is a kinship, there is a fellowship, there is a relationship that is established through our salvational experience with God. Out of that experience, we are given the power of God that is able to keep us from falling, the power of God that is able to do all of these things, to eradicate the things that I just forementioned, and as we move forward in it, to bring these things into captivity. You do not have to continue to deal with the ideology that, after all, there's nobody perfect. At some point in time when I have free reign, Evangelist Bernard, I really want to give a dissertation on this theory about nobody's perfect. Okay, so at some point in time we'll talk about it, and if I'm blessed to have another opportunity to address your audience, I want to clear that up, because I'm very concerned that people are using that as a cop-out. Well, after all, nobody's perfect. The term, let me just say it to you briefly, the term perfect means to be senseless or to be sinless, okay? Now, oftentimes we use it and say, as a cop-out, to give an excuse to say, well, this is the reason I'm not doing what I should be doing, because, after all, no one's perfect. But by the same token, the word perfect in one instance means to be mature. So in other words, when you know better, you ought to then do better. So one must subscribe to doing what the will of God is, to be mature enough to be able to do what God commands you to do, and to walk in that level of maturity. So it means that we have to understand, beloved people of God, that we are dealing with a God that is progressive. God is progressive. God is constantly trying to move us forward. Many times we miss the mark because we look to the left, we look to the right. We want to do things on our own. We fail oftentimes to acknowledge God in all of our ways, because he will give us clear direction. But when you opt to things your way, and then you run off into the left or to the right, only to discover that is not the way that God has charted for you, now you are going to end up having to live with the consequences of your choice, whether your consequences be good or whether they be evil. So that's why it behooves the believer to really follow in every area, every aspect of your life, every decision that you make. You must use the mind of God. You must use the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is where we receive our intellect, or I will put it on another front. It is through the intelligentsia of God that God then distributes according to every individual a level of intellect. Now, God has so much intelligentsia that he can supply every human being on the planet with enough intellect that still he will never run out. He's never depleted. So he gives us intellect so that we're able to think. But how we think, again, has to be predicated upon how we train ourselves to think. You don't have to think evil when you have a choice to think what is good. That's why the Apostle Paul says, if there be any virtue, the word virtue means if there be any power. You have the power just as well as you have the power to think wrong thoughts, use the reverse. You have the power to think right thoughts, pure thoughts, wholesome thoughts, thoughts that bring you pleasure, thoughts that bring you joy, peace, happiness, all of that. By the same token, you can sit and think yourself into a place of depression. By the same token, you can be in a place of depression and begin to think on things that are lovely, things that have good report, and it will change how you feel. Not only change how you feel, it will also change how you live. It's based upon the renewing of one's mind. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So now, let's move on. So other things, false security, vanity, foolishness, cursing rulers, word of religion, self-exaltation, wanting God's power for gain and outward show. I've often asked people many, many times in my 44 years of trying to pastor people and trying to preach and what have you, when I hear people today talk about, oh, I want to be anointed. Why do you want to be anointed? Do you understand what's required of you to be anointed? Do you want to be anointed so that people can claim how great, how marvelous, how wonderful, how splendid you are? No, that's the wrong reason to be anointed. Your purpose for being anointed is so that you can be used of God, again, for God to get the glory, not for man to give you glory or for you others and thinking you're all of that and a bag of chips. That's not the reason. It should not be, I should say. It should not be the reason wherein you desire to be anointed. You want to be anointed so that you can have an impact upon this mean and evil society in which we live. You want to be anointed enough to be able to draw people and win souls to the kingdom of God. You want to be anointed in such a fashion that God, again, can get the glory out of your life, that through you, God can utilize you to bring attention to himself through you as you interact with other individuals. Scientists do follow them that believe. Where people are confused, people are led astray, people don't know which way to turn and whom should they turn to, we then become a beacon light. We become a light. We are anointed to draw people out of darkness into the marvelous light. Again, never wanting to take any credit for what God affords us and allows us and grants us the privilege to do. If anything, beloved, it ought to be a humbling experience. Think about it on this wise. Out of the billions of people on the planet of the earth, God yet chose you. You did not choose God. That's another misnomer. You did not choose God. You chose God. The only choice you had in the matter of his choosing is choice. Once you accept what God has chosen for you, he again has chosen you. Before the foundations of the world, he chose you. He knew them that would be his. So it's an honor, it's a privilege, a blessed honor, and a blessed privilege granted to us by grace that we are now saved. So don't Don't again be lifted up in pride. Don't exalt yourself above others who have yet not come into a salvational experience. You've been saved to save others. You've been blessed to be a blessing. So don't hoard all of your blessings and walk around and brag about how blessed you are and how highly favored you are in God. Don't take that attitude. Again, don't exalt yourself above others, because if the truth were to be told, if God would have left any of us in the state that we once in prior to salvation, we would be just like everyone else. So again, be humble and be grateful, appreciative of the fact, and give God the glory and the honor and the praise that's due his great name for coming into a salvational experience. He drew you out of a world of sin, then placed you into his dear kingdom, now classifying you as a member of a royal priesthood and a member of a holy nation. He has set you in kinship on the same level as his dear son, Jesus Christ. We were once aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel, but now because God has saved us and redeemed us from the curse of the law through grace, are we saved, not by works lest any man should boast, but we are saved by the grace of God. What is grace? Grace in actuality is the loving high kindness of God being extended toward an undeserved person or people. So God says, I can, even though I hate the sin in you, but I love you enough to not leave you in that state. So he then brings salvation to you when you accept his knock at the door, when you accept his choice, then flow into a life of living in grace. Been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, now you can move forward to doing the will of God for your life. It is not for your own selfish gain, but it is also to gain others. If God brought you out of darkness, then how can you look back at others who remain in darkness and feel that you're better than they are? Because guess what? There was nothing you could do, nothing that I could do, nothing that any of us could do collectively that could bring us into salvation. God says to us in the Old Testament that if I looked at all of your righteousness based upon our own individual righteousness and looked at it collectively, God said, I still could find nothing worth saving you for. But God's demonstration of his loving kindheartedness extended to an undeserved people. So again, it's a privilege, it's an honor to be saved. So don't get lifted up in pride and become bodacious and braggadocious about your salvation. It again ought to be a humbling experience. So now, another part of these 24 evils of evil thoughts. Also, as we continue on, is self-exaltation, wanting God's power for gain and outward show. Religious zeal without knowledge. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Pride over human wisdom. Some people are, they have this degree and that degree, and they, you know, they're very wise people, and they make very wise decisions. But again, where did you get your wisdom from? You got your wisdom from intelligentsia of God that gave you a mind that was operative enough, cognitive enough, able to figure things out based upon his intellect that he has granted unto you. Again, we can't afford to take pride in nothing that we have, because all that we do, all that we hope to do, all that we are and all that we hope to be is by the grace of God. Unbelief, doubt, adulterous, fornication, murders, thieves, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye. All of these things are examples of evil thoughts. Sometimes people can sit up and spend their time trying to figure out how to make you miserable and how to devise ways to cause you to be destroyed, how to tear up your home, how to tear up the church, how to disrupt the ministry, how to drag the preacher down, how to discredit him or to discredit her. All of these things, again, are things that exist within the heart. So bear with me, because it's essential that in order for us to fully understand what we need to be healed from or how we can be healed, you first have to discover what's wrong with you. Bless his name. So now we move into another area, evil eye, hardness of heart, utter depravity, immorality, covetousness, darkness, discontent, lust, rebellion, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. These also are things that stem from the evil in one's heart. So now, as we move forward, what a contrast between him and his modern followers who are constantly using every means to get before the public. People nowadays feel like, oh, I just need to be seen. Somebody's got to notice me, and therefore pride sets in, and pride and arrogance sets in. These things ought to not exist within the framework of the mind of the believer. Now, again, once you have identified, and I'm going to wrap it up at this point, once you identified what your issue is, what's your major malfunction, as it were, causing you to not function according to the will and the way of God. What's got you in a place where every time that God tells you to do something, you walk in disobedience? God is telling you don't look to the left, don't look to the right, but you choose to do it your own way. So you walk in disobedience. God tells you that I want you to sit, and you yet want to stand. You're now operating in rebellion. You're operating against the things of God. So what you have to now recognize is what's in me. What's my major malfunction? What in the world is going on within me that I need to identify? Once you identify what your issue is, we talk about issues on a whole nother level from the physicality of it, based upon the standpoint when you talk about, oh, I'm overweight, that's my issue, chocolate cake is my issue, ice cream is my issue. Well, I don't really consider those issues, not based upon what issues really are. So we have to understand from the Hebrew word, issue is tawassa. Tawassa meaning a form or a figurative standpoint, it means deliverance, meaning what comes out of, what is its source, what are its borders, where does this thing stem from? It means a going out or going forth. It means out or outgoings. How do these things, as I said earlier, how is all of this evil in the land? Why is there so much backbiting, so much hatred, so much malice, so much jealousy, so much envy and strife within our society? How is it that all these wicked vices are comprised? Because of the heart, or what's contained in the heart. So now again, when you understand what your issue is your issue committing adultery? How does that exist? Because that's what's in your heart. What now needs to happen, and we see now where there is such a rampage of fornication and adultery that's running rampant in the land. We're living in a time, brothers and sisters, where it appears that right now has become wrong, and wrong has become the new right. So it appears that we're living in a time now where lies seems to be the new truth and truth seems to be lies, only because of the wickedness that lies within the hearts of people, whether it's in your heart or whether it's in someone else's heart. Now, let's let the record be clear. All of us have issues. We have something contained within our hearts. I don't care how saved you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you think you have. Some issue that you sometimes don't want to address. But guess what?
That's right.
If the right situation comes along, that issue will surface. why we must constantly take self-examination. Just like from a physical standpoint, the doctors tell you, check yourselves physically sometimes. And if you see knots or you see bruises or you see things that exhumed on your body or display themselves on your body that normally should not be there, the best thing to do then is to get to the doctor and find out the source of it. Why is this knot on my leg? And I don't recall bumping it. Why is this knot under my breast? It's not supposed to be there. Why is this lump there? You then, wisdom says, go to the doctor, find out what's going on, and then have it dealt with professionally. Well, recognize what your issues are, what your proclivities are, what's got you behaving and conducting yourself in the fashion that you should. Let's look at it from this standpoint. A, we look at Jesus Christ as being the model. Here is the only begotten Son of God, who is God really manifested in the flesh, and he's come down to show us what it is to live a godly life. He was a man that knew no sin, but yet took on the sins of the world because he was supposed to have been the sacrificial lamb that was supposed to pay for the sins of us one and all, time past, time present, time future. So now, but here it is that we look at him and we begin to wonder, how is this a human being can do what he does? A man that was not sinful at all. But here I look at myself, or you look at yourself, and you look at Jesus Christ, and many say, well, I'm not Christ. Well, I beg to differ with you based upon what I'm about to tell you. If the power of God rests within him, and that same power rests in you, what's the difference? The difference herein is that oftentimes we don't either recognize the power that's within us, or we don't believe that that power exists, and or we don't utilize that power that God has given us. You have power over your own lives. Here becomes the distraction. It's easier to look at the faults of others and to not recognize your own. Because when you have to recognize your own, now you're having to take responsibility for what you've recognized. And so once you recognize what your issues, your proclivities are, now you're held accountable for what you know. And so now you can no longer say, by pointing your finger at others and saying, this is what's wrong with them, and that's what's wrong with them. The Bible says in the New Testament, how can you talk about the mote in your brother's eye when you have a whole beam in yours? Here you are looking at some little small issue they had, and here you have a whole oak tree, as it were, in your own life.
Come on, Bishop.
It's how the devil gets us to not deal with the demonstration of the fullness of the power of God for our own lives by diverting our attention from looking within to looking from without. What do you mean? It's easy for me to find out what's wrong with Evangelist Bernard because I spend my focusing on what's wrong with her, and I'm not accusing her, so don't let the audience feel that I am. I'm just merely using this as a metaphor. So now, if I look at her and I find out that there is something wrong with her, I can focus on that, and if I'm not careful, the devil will make me feel justified in the wrong that I'm doing. Well, after all
right,
she's and so therefore, if she can be wrong, and after all, no one's perfect, so therefore, it's okay for me to live in my state of imperfection. It's wrong on both. Wrong for Evangelist Bernard, and it's certainly wrong for me. So now what the devil is, now the devil throws that to us and says, well, okay, well, the preacher's not perfect, the missionary is not perfect, the apostle is not perfect, the bishop is not perfect, but what does God say? What does God say? So what God says is that we must walk upright before him, and in doing so, there's no good thing he withholds from us. If God gives us the earnestness of his spirit to bring all of these things into captivity, bring those things into subjection to the will of God. Again, if you allow the devil, as my mother would say, if you're not careful, that devil will make a plumb fool out of you because he will to look at the faults and the sins of others to help you justify according to your own justifications that, okay, it's cool for me to do what I'm doing, because after all, if Rev can do it, if the prophet can do it, if the evangelist can do it, if the deacons in the church can do it, if my neighbor can do it, if my friends on the job can do it, my coworkers, then it's okay for me to do it as well. Just because everybody does it does not mean you are entitled or have a right to do it, especially when you are a born-again believer. When you have become a child of God, you are now accountable for everything you say and everything you do. Even every idle thought that you have, you're going to have to answer for it in judgment. We don't preach like that anymore. Now we're preaching all this prosperity, claiming it, what have you. But I'm here. What needs to be brought back to our attention is going back to the basis. Understanding that if it had not been for God that was on our side, then where would we be? We would have never come out of our sin if it had not been for God on our side. We could have never delivered from the nature of sin and given an opportunity to live a godly life if it had not been for the grace of God. So let us begin. Go back to the basics. Notice now what I'm about to tell you. Now, once you recognize what your issue is, Paul says, for example, I feel my help coming now. Paul says that when I desire to do good, evil is always present. This mind tells me I know the right thing to do, but my flesh tells me to do otherwise. So now Paul is... He's between a rock and a hard place because he understands that his pure consciousness is saying, you know better, so why can't you do better? I want to do better, but I choose not to do better because I'm enjoying the wrong I do. But then when I do the wrong I do, I now find myself feeling guilty or coming under conviction or condemnation for doing it. So Paul says, I'm constantly in a war. I'm warring with my spirit and I'm warring with my flesh because I've been raised in a religious atmosphere. I've been taught the word of God, but now I find myself in this quandary. I find myself, again, between a rock and a hard place. I find myself being drawn by two separate powerful entities, my flesh and the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God reveals to me what's wrong with me. My flesh says to me, this is pleasurable to you. So now I'm in a struggle. I don't know what to do. When I desire to do what's right, then here comes this evil within me. This comes up, this lust. Here comes up this pride. Here comes up all this covetousness, all this wickedness that I now have. So Paul makes a decision. I need some help here. I need to figure out what can I do. Paul is now aspirating. He's at a place where he's just totally confused about what needs to happen. So now he says, who then can deliver me from this present body? So now when he understands that deliverance from all of these ill-gotten evils that are within comes through the power of God. So now when Paul is now converted and saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and now the struggles do not stop, but he has the power to stop them. Oh, you better hear me today. Let me put a pin there. Oftentimes, the believer is led to believe that we have to keep praying, asking God to do this, that, and the other for us. God sent me today to tell you, if he has given you the earnestness of his spirit, if he's given you the power within you to reign in your life, then you must learn how to use that same power. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's a new cliche that's on the rise. It's a cliche in the sense that now we're hearing everybody say it. It's always been in the Word of God since the Word of God been written. For now, all of a sudden now, it seems to be the new norm. It seems to be the fancy things to say. Oh, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Well, that's true. But you've got to watch what's coming out of your mouth, because what comes out of your mouth is a confession of what exists within your heart. Bless his name. So now, when you speak evil, then you have to recognize that evil is in your heart. When you say, for example, I really hate so-and-so, then that means that hate exists in your heart. But now when you say, love them, then love exists in your heart. So it works on this wise. Now, so now that you understand that you have to take ownership, you have to take responsibility, and you're going to be held accountable for that which is within you. So now we must go on a fact-finding mission. We must now put aside looking at what's wrong with everybody else and do a self-examination. As the old saints used to say, they used to sing the song, Lord, turn the light on from heaven and search my heart. If you find anything that ought not to be, then take it out and strengthen me. Well, here is my twist on that. What we need to now do and clearly understand is the light of the consciousness of God's presence in your life in the form of the Holy Spirit, now it reveals what's wrong with you. Now, once you are aware of what's wrong with you, again, take ownership. Yes, God, I know that I have lying lips. I know I'm filled with pride. You don't want me to be filled with pride and false pride. You don't want me to think more highly of myself than I ought to think. My issue, God, is fornication. Every time I turn around, I can't behave myself. I'm living a life of adultery, or I even have adulteries. I have impure thoughts. I'm filled with greed, and I want stuff, and look like the more I want, the more I want, and look like I'm never satisfied. Once again, you recognize your issue. When you recognize your proclivity, then again, A, take responsibility for it. In other words, God, yes, this is my major malfunction. Number two, I know that I'm going to be held accountable for it. But here comes point C. You have given me the power to get rid of it. So once I recognize, now I have to tell my flesh, no, you're not going to behave this way. No, you're going to set yourself down somewhere and you're going to behave yourself, because this flesh also must give glory to God. I cannot get up in church and praise and worship on Sunday and then in the Dew Drop Inn Motel on Monday. No.
Flesh, go ahead, you're preaching.
God has given you power over these things. Quit saying, if you feel like doing, you might as well do it. No, I beg to differ. That's the time to fight. No. You must understand, in order to bring something into captivity, it means that now you have to enter to warfare. You have to into, Paul would deal with it as he dealt with the Corinthians, that you have to bring things into subjection. You have to bring it into you having what is called spiritual warfare. Paul would say to us, as I hasten on here, in Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Paul, as a warrior, he was a Roman soldier, so he was used to combat, and he understood that if you're going to capture your enemy, you've got to outsmart your enemy. You've got to be strong, skillful than your enemy. So when you know that the devil, this sin that lurks within us, this evil that still exists within us, this pride and the lust of life and all of these kinds of issues and proclivities that we are dealing with, all this sexuality and homosexuality, lesbianism that exists within us, the desire to want to hurt people and kill people and slander their name. Many times it's just not so much that you want to physically kill somebody, but you can kill people's joy. You can kill their kindness. Mm-hmm. You can kill their thoughts. You can kill their inspirations. And sometimes people take delight in. I remember my mother used to tell us, as growing up as my brother and I, that sometimes people will glory in your downfall. And I used to question, young child. How in the world can somebody be happy because I'm falling apart? How can somebody take pleasure in the fact that we're being evicted from our home or the car is being repossessed? Also, the evil that exists in the hearts of men. How can someone wait until I've worked 40 hours a week or 80 hours in a pay period and then lay in wait for me to rob me because it's in their heart to do so? How can someone take kindness and look for it as a weakness and or abuse me and misuse me, mistreat me, mishandle me, take me for granted? Because it's within their hearts. Now, let me help us. I promise you, I haven't lost my place. I'm going to go back there. But God is just dropping this in my spirit as I move along. What we have to understand is stop hating people for what people do, but hate the sin in the person. Look at the spirit in that person that's causing them to do what they do. Stop hating people. God says, I hate the sin, or I hate the sin in you, but I yet love you, the sinner, committing the sin. God does not obligate us to love the sin that people do, but we must still love the person, regardless to what they do. But when you look at the nature of a thing, when you look at why people do what they do, it'll give you a better perspective to understand it, to cope with it, and then God will deploy the godly wisdom within you to show you how to better deal with it. So now let's go back to the spiritual warfare. So now when you understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning they're not dealt with through human interactions, it takes the power of God to break down all of these things within us. And it's going to be a struggle. Yes, it's going to be a struggle, as it were, in a physical fight. Everybody wants to win. You don't want to lose, nor do your opponent want to lose. But you've got the purpose. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So now, if the power of God that rests in me is the same power that raised Christ from the dead, then I'm going to deploy that power that God has given me, his dunamis, his explosive power that he's given me, that I can overcome this thing. I'm going to take ownership of it. I'm going to take accountability for it, but I'm also going to bring it into subjection. I'm going to tell my flesh, no, 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 you got to wait till you get married before you start having sex. No, no, I'm going to keep myself. God is my keeper. So you've got to begin to change the way you think. Yes, you may want it, but you got to deny yourself having it. Yes, you may want this, you may want that, but you've got to retrain yourself to the extent that you now understand, I only want what God wants me to have. Because, again, in everything that I have, everything that I do, it must give glory and honor to God. So how do we heal? How do we heal? We heal by understanding, again, I keep going back to the point for a reason. You take responsibility for it, accountability for it, and now you must wage war against it. You must now engage in what we call spiritual warfare. No, devil, this is not going to be the case. I'm not going to continue living the life that I've been living. Now that I've recognized what my proclivities are, what my issues are, now I'm going to work in that area. Come here, I'm going to this thing by the throat, and I'm going to challenge it. I'm going to take its life from it because it is corrupting me. It's corrupting my heart. And so the things that God wants me to exemplify in my life, I can't really do it because I'm struggling with this proclivity. I'm struggling with this issue. People can't really see the light that's in me because of my inner struggles. So because I'm supposed to be an example to others, I must now again examine me. And now that I'm looking at me, now I'm putting me under the microscope, and I see stuff in Jesse that I just don't like. Because here is me. God will reveal you to you if you ask him. Yes, he will. If you ask God, show me me. Don't show me advantage, but show me me. Don't ask me, don't, God, don't show me my wife. Show me me. Don't show me my sons and my grandchildren. God, show me. Sometimes, as the old saints used to say, sometimes you've got to come clean with God. You've got to go prostrate before God, lay on your face, and say, God, here I am. Look at me. Examine me. And when you get through examining me, then show me the real me. Show me, after I've left church, the real me. Because I've confused the people in church. I've learned how to praise, and I've learned how to say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, and I've learned how to cut my little step, and I've learned how to lift my hand. I know all the praise and the worship songs, and so I've got everybody else fooled. But yet, God, you see me when I leave church. You know how I conduct myself at home. You realize that when I come home, God, the dog runs and hides. The cat finds a corner to be in. The husband decides he needs to go outside. The children want to go next door and play with their friends. God, what is it about me? Why is it that I'm so mean and so hateful? So apparently,
go ahead,
it's
Bishop,
me,
you pray, teach
me.
Today.
This hatred is within me. And I try to cover it up. Not, oh, well, I'm so saved and I'm sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and have time for this. No, no, come on, let's really be real right through here and now. No, you're using that to cover up your inner struggles. You're using that to mask yourself. Let's take the mask off, because, again, there is something wrong with all of us, and I'm here to declare that there's much wrong with me. But every day of my life, when God reveals to me what's wrong with me, I now have to engage in spiritual warfare in that area. I must bring that thing into captivity. I must not allow it to capture me. I must now capture it. So whatever your it is, whatever your issue is, confront it. Because if you don't confront it, it is going to confront you. It is going to demonstrate it still exists in you by the way you live your life. I used to wonder until I got the revelation of this text many years ago. I used to wonder, how is it that the people of God that are supposed to be so full of peace, love, and joy, why they're so mean, look like they're just meaner than a barrel of rattlesnakes, that just don't know how to give a person a kind word and all that. Yeah. Oh, my God. Babe, I can't say nothing. Where did you get that mess from? Now I find out what the problem is. You're full of pride. You feel like you're than someone else. But can I take us back to the fact that if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, then where in the world would you be? If God had not delivered your wretched soul, my wretched soul, we would all be burning in hell everlastingly. Mm. But thanks be to God that has caused us to triumph. Thanks be to God that has brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Praise God for the fact that he's given us the earnestness of his spirit. He's given us power to be overcomers. So you don't have to continue to say what you're not. You can fight, and you fight knowing that when you enter into the fight with these struggles, with these issues, with these proclivities, that you're going to be declared a winner from the beginning. Yes, you're going to have to fight. Yes, fight to shut your mouth. Fight, amen, to keep silent. Fight, amen, to get rid of the ills that is in your life. You got to fight, amen, to hold your sanity. You got to fight to have the right thoughts. You got to fight, amen, to bring every negative thought into captivity. God, I refuse to think this way. I refuse to think that everybody's out to get me. I refuse to think that woe is me. I refuse to mumble, grumble, complain, and find fault. God, you've been too good to me. You brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. You've always made a way out of no way for me. God, I refuse to think that way. I refuse to doubt you, God. I have no reason to doubt you. I'm telling you how to heal yourself now. Yes, because he would come and make you believe that God has not hurt you. Well, devil, you've been lying ever since you've got a start. God is on my side. He's not a man that he should lie to, the son of man that he should repent. So, devil, you need to back up here. How do I heal from my doubt? You heal from your doubt by entertaining the word of God in your heart. Thy word, O God, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. That is what David said. David realized, can I talk about David here for a second? David realized that he had an adulterous spirit. That was his issue, because now he sleeps with Bathsheba, another man's wife, Uriah's wife. Now she becomes pregnant, and now he's trying to hide it. Sin, when it's added to sin, brings about corruption. So now David finds himself, a man now trying to cover up his mess. But I come to let you know, you can hide it, you can try to hide it, but sooner or later it's going to avail itself. So David thought he had everything together by trying to hide it. So now he sends for Uriah, who's fighting on the battlefield, brings him home on a furlough, as it were, a weekend pass, and tells him, now go in and be with your wife. But Uriah pulled a fast one on him and said, David, I appreciate my furlough. I appreciate the fact that you have allowed me to come home. But I, in good conscience, I'm paraphrasing, but in good conscience, O King David, I cannot sleep in the chamber with my wife, knowing that the men are fighting on the battlefield and they're dying day by day. So if you will, David, I'll pitch my tent out here on the ground. Well, his scheme to think that if Uriah goes in, and then finally when Uriah finishes his three-day pass and goes back to the battlefield, and then when Bathsheba is now exposed with the child, then everybody will think that it was her. So now David's got to figure out something else to do. Again, when sin is added, and it brings about corruption. So now David sends him to the front line, which is something that the army or the military does not do. You do not send out your warring generals to fight on the front line. Why? Because if you kill the leader, then the whole troops will run and hide. So he now has him killed on the front line. So now David thinks, I've got it made in the shade, because now nobody knows what I've done. But a message I preached once many, many years ago, you can be in the booth, in the corner, in the back, in the dark, but the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good as well as evil. So now here, when does David now find out what his real issue was, all of his issues were? When the prophet Naaman comes to him and says to him, well, King David, I have a matter to present before you, O king. He says, what is the matter? He says, a man had a sheep that he loved very much, and a thief broke it and stole his sheep. So David became infuriated and said, bring me that individual. And so Naaman the prophet looked at him and said, thou art the man. And he began to reveal to him what his issues were, how his sins had come up before him. Guess what? Again, God will reveal your inner struggles. God will reveal your inner sins. God will reveal to you what your proclivities are. But then you've got to give an account of it. Here is the account. David says, God, yes, God, I've done it. I admit that I've done it. I take ownership. I take responsibility for having done so. And then God says, well, I tell you what, David, I'm going to show you a little bit of mercy. He says, how are you going to? He says, because I'm going to allow you to choose your own punishment. He says, then God, what are my choices? So if I can do the game show thing, if you don't mind, behind door number one, you can choose to be in the hands of man. And door number two, you can choose to be in the hands of nature. Door number three, you can choose to be in my hands. David began to look at that and thing and began to think about it. He said, well, if I go in behind door number one, then my enemies are out to kill me as it is. So if I'm turned over to the will of my enemies, they're not going to be merciful to me. They're going to slay me and destroy my life. Now if I turn over into the hand of nature, nature has no consciousness. It allowed to get hot, allowed to die from a heat stroke. It allowed to freeze up, allowed to die from freezing. So he says, well then David, what's going to be your real choice? He says, I'd rather be in your hands, even though I know that thou art going to punish me. You're rightfully in doing so. So God says, well, David, why did you choose that? He said, because of the fact I know that thou art a merciful God. Times for the things that you've done, but God is merciful to you, cannot destroy you. When God corrects us, uses punishment. He uses it to correct or to modify our behavior so that we can represent him here in the heart of the earth. So as I take my clothes of you today, brothers and sisters, understand again, take responsibility and accountability for what your issues are. When you recognize what they are, then deploy the power of God that's in your life. If you don't have the power of God in your life, then may I suggest to you that you ask God to fill you with his precious gift of the Holy Spirit, because without the Spirit of God, you cannot overcome the things of this flesh. Yes, all of us have. Yes, Bishop admits, I have struggles in my flesh, just like you have struggles in your flesh. You don't need to know what mine are, and I don't need to know what yours are, but the both of us need to know that God is our deliverer. So once we acknowledge that thing, once we lay that thing on the altar, once we slay that thing, in other words, God, here it is, I'm jealous. My neighbor got a new car, and God, I got an attitude about it. God, you got to kill that jealousy in me. I've got to recognize it now, Lord, and I've got to take a strong hold against it. I've got to demolish it because that's not your will for my life. You can bless whomever you will. I don't have to worry about what someone else has. I don't have to take greed over what others have. I don't have to become a coveter over what others have. God, I know that if I walk upright before you, there is no good thing you're going to withhold from me. I don't have to be best girlfriend, just got married, and I'm still a widow or I'm still a single woman. Sister girl, may I remind you, if you wait on the Lord, he will encourage your heart. If you will sit and wait on God, God's got your Boaz. God's got the man that you need, but God's got you in a holding pattern. Can I just talk to you for a second, sister girl? You don't have to get out here and search for Mr. Right. Mr. Right will show up at the right time, the right place, and let you know that God sent him. Why? Because your spirits will agree. Stop searching for what God tells you to sit patiently and wait for. Don't allow what you call your biological clock cause you, amen, to go out and do things that are ungodly. Because men will trick you. I'm one of them. I know men better than you think you do. I've been a man all of my life, now 65 years as one. So now when men will take prey of you, when you offer yourself to them, they're not going to refuse it. And once you've given yourself to them, now you're left with sin and shame. Ask God to hold you. Ask God to keep you, because God is your keeper. Brother man, you don't have to lay down with that sister. No, you don't, sir. I don't care how your hormones are raging. I don't care how long it's been for you, sir. God is yet a keeper. You don't have to get in. You've got to take authority over that thing. You've got to tell that flesh, no, this is not the right time nor the right place. It's definitely not the right set of circumstances. So why, again, I've got to bring it all into captivity. I've got to take control over what I think. I've got to take control over what comes out of my... Because whatever my issues are, they're going to show up. They're going to show up in my conduct and in my behavior. But in order for God to get glory, then I want the best in me to come out of me. Therefore, I strive daily to perfect me. Strive daily to mature me. Strive daily to the wisdom of God in my life. Strive daily maximize my life before God. I've got to ask God, as David did. David says, Lord, purge me with hyssop. In other words, God, clean me up. God, use me for your service. God, I don't want to be a hypocrite. God, I don't want to say one thing and then another. Don't want to appear in church all weekend and then live like I want to live all the week long. Hallelujah. I'm done.
Hallelujah.
Done. Well, when the heart is corrupt, when the heart is corrupt, beloved, the life conduct will be corrupt. But when, if I might add, but when the heart is incorruptible, then the life becomes and the conduct becomes uncorruptible. You can change if you want to change. Change is available. You don't have to settle. You don't have to keep using the same excuse. Well, after all, I'm human. Yes, you are. I fully agree with you that you're human. But the power of God can override your human mystical.
Glory.
That's why it says, I've given unto you power to tread upon serpents.
Yes.
I've given you power to
overcome.
Yes. Power. It's called dunamis. It is the word, the Greek dunamis is where we get the English word dynamite. If you were to take a stick of dynamite and throw it in a field, everything within its range will disperse. So when the power of God comes in you, things become dispersed.
Hey, Jesus.
So utilize the power of God. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
I thank you now, God, for the energy that this frail body, in the midst of what its challenges are right through here and now. Thank you for giving me energy, the tenacity, the fortitude, the drive, and above all, your spirit, to be able to share these few words that hopefully, God, will be a turnaround for somebody's life. I take no credit, God, for nothing that I've said, nothing that I've done, but I give you the glory. I give you the honor. Because, God, it's my desire that your people be blessed. Desire that the people become more aware of what our own individual issues and proclivities are, that we can be healed and delivered and set free from them.
Yes,
and God, for you to get the glory out of it, not for us to brag, become braggadocious and be lifted up in pride, but that it serves to humble us even the more. That when we fully realize, God, that if it were not for you, then we would have to ponder the question, Lord, where would we be? I pray, God, now in the name of Jesus, that God, you bring to the forefront of all of those that are listening to the sound of my, under the sound of my weak voice now, I pray, God, that you bring into a place to recognize what issues and proclivities are. And God, we're going to rejoice in you that you love us enough to present them before us, and you love us even the more to give us power to overcome them. So, God, in the precious name of Jesus now, God, reveal us as individuals. So again, God, that we can live the life that you've declared and you've decreed for us. Help us to live the life, God, a life of holiness, not from a religious standpoint, but, God, from a spiritual standpoint. Help us to recognize who we are in you and who you are in us. Because, God, I declare, believe God now, people are living far beneath their privilege. We're wondering, God, based upon insecurities and upon doubt and despondency and despair, we're confused about who we are. Enlighten us even the more. Help us to understand, God, that we are members of a royal priesthood, members of a holy nation. We are sons and daughters of the Most High King. We are kingdom dwellers. This is not our home. We're traveling through this barren land on our way to rest with you. So, God, guide us along the way. And, God, I pray, God, now all that we have done that is displeasing in thy sight, God, we lay it at your feet. We acknowledge our wrong. We acknowledge our sins and our transgressions, just as David did. We ask you, God, now, even in this hour, God, to refresh us, to revive us, rejuvenate us, cleanse us, God, from all unrighteousness. Because, God, we want nothing but the purity of righteousness to flow from our hearts, that we are able to but another, that we're able to lend helping hands when it's needed and where it's needed, that we can speak a word into someone else's life, that we can give someone encouragement, that we can lay hands on the sick of God. We need your power to preach your word, power to live your word, power to do what you've commanded us to do. So, God, give us now, according to thy will and thy way, this we do pray. Believe that it shall be done. God, we still have to give thy name the praise. And the name of God, hallelujah, hallelujah, tell God thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
You're back in the hands of Evangelist Bernard.
Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Had not been for the Lord. Hey, oh, Messiah. Lord, outside. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, that was the word. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, yeah, almost me. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Bishop.
God bless you. God bless you.
Oh, you always come and feed us. Hallelujah. Give us just what we need. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. For the power that dwells on the inside. Hey, oh, inner struggles. Amen. Hallelujah. That was the word. Hallelujah. Go back and listen to this word again and let it saturate your spirit. It was needful, it was needful. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. We thank Bishop Grant. Hey, Messiah. Anytime we call upon him, he make a sacrifice and come on and minister. You know this, I tell the people every day, we're not here to play games. We're trying to grow in grace. We're trying to grow in the Lord. Hallelujah. We all have issues. Amen, but we have to admit them. We have to come. Oh, hallelujah. Let the mirror reflect upon us. Work on us. Hallelujah. God didn't tell us to work on our brother and our sister, but we need to work on us. Ah, glory to God. Thank you for that word today. Glory. Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you today, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Lord, Messiah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We just ought to give God some praise. After you receive a word like this, hey, Lord, Messiah. You should be saying, created me a clean heart, God. Renew a right spirit within me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Whatever you do, God, don't take your Holy Spirit. God. Hallelujah. We still got a few people on the line. I'm going to go to Pastor Beatrice, oh, you know, Messiah, thank you, Jesus. I don't know nothing you all can say, but help me, Lord. That's all I can say today, God. Help me, Jesus. I need help. Pastor Beatrice.
God bless you. That was just very, first of all, I would like to say God bless you, Evangelist A. Bernard and all the clergy on the line. And, the bishop, that was just so awesome. I am going to go back and listen to it again because I'm out here in Arizona. My grandson is getting ready to graduate. I'm going to sit down, me and my daughter, we're going to listen to it tonight because I missed some part of it. But what I did here, it was just very awesome about we all have issues. But, you know, it takes the power of the Holy Ghost to break those issues. And, you know, when I look over my life, I see all the issues that God has brought me out of in order to save me and to place me where I am today. But, you know, sometimes people often wonder, like you said, why that person acts like that, you know. But we are still to love them regardless of our issue. We must remember our own issues. That we have, we don't have to like the sin that they do, but we still have to embrace and love them. And that's what I do when I, you know, tell the women and the men that I have in the home, you know, is I still love people right where they at because I never forget the issues that God brought me out of. And we still have areas where God needs to deliver us from. And everything you said was just so powerful. And I like what you said, that power and death is in the tongue. Life is in the tongue, what we say and what we speak. And I was sharing that with someone today that told me that they keep dealing with an issue where they keep repeating over and over. And, you know, I gave them scripture, and I said, you know, meditate on that scripture and go to God, you know. So everything you said today was confirmation, and it was just, it took the breath out of me. It was just so powerful. I want to tell you, thank you for those words that you've given me, the wisdom. that you poured out. And I will be sharing that recording with everyone else.
Mm. Amen, amen. Well, God bless you. Tell your grandson congratulations on his achievement. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless. Mother Charity, hey, you almost stopped. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. The Lord, amen, for his words today. Hallelujah. Mm. My God, I mean, he didn't leave a stone unturned today. Hallelujah. Mm. Oh, God, and I was just feasting off of God's word today. Hallelujah. So y'all just be patient with me, because God is not through with me yet. When God gets through with me, I'm going to come out as pure gold. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to that rock that's higher than I. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to Jesus. Oh, I feel so good in my spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I mean, I got some work to do. I got some work to do. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Praise God.
But
so we thank God, amen, for the man of God today. Hallelujah. For the words of life that came from his mouth. And hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we got to keep that heart, I'm telling you. We got to keep that heart at all costs. Because that heart is a deceiver. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And it's desperately wicked. My God, who can know it but God? Oh, I thank the Lord. Amen today. Hallelujah. God is so good to us. He knows what we need, and he will send what we need. Hallelujah. Praise.
Hallelujah.
So y'all continue to pray for me in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless. Amen. Amen. Sister Ruby, God bless you. Thank you, Mother.
Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. It was,
what can you say?
All I saw was mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy.
Mm.
It's me, it's me. The Lord sent the word. But he not only sent the word, he sent it how we can clean up the word in our lives and these issues. It's the issue of our heart and life. So Bishop Jesse Grant, always the Lord, always using mightily.
Yeah, mightily.
Ooh, I'm just saying, it's me, it's me, it's me. Oh Lord, standing in it. But then when you pray, the Lord sent the word for us, and he told us, and plus he sent the solution. So I said, Lord, I thank you.
Yes, thank Lord you. Jesus.
Ain't no more to say.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Yeah.
My
God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. He's worthy. Mercy, mercy.
Yes, Lord.
Each morning. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Ah, glory to God.
Oh, my
Yes, praise God. Giving honor to God. And you, Evangelist Bernard, that message was so awesome. So beautiful. The part that stuck out, that came out to me the most was when he spoke of people do things because it lies within their hearts. You know, and that's, I pray to God, continue to change our hearts, my heart, but I'm going to speak for all, our hearts so that we can become a humble and, you know, not let what's contained in our hearts out of response to where it can hurt people. We don't know, well, we know that things that we say can't kill a person, and literally it can. So I just thank God for the message today. I'm glad that I was reading Facebook and saw your text, come on. And I just thank God. And other parts, the other one was our actions do not be lifted up by pride and gainfulness.
Good God.
I thank God. We hit on a lot of points that, you know, that I had issues with as far as things and stuff. It was a blessing for me. And can you also, before you go off, so that we go back, where did we go back and listen to the message again? I don't have that information.
All right. You can go to our website and hear it at www.newdestinyministries.com, or you can listen on Blog Talk Radio, or you can hit the button on Facebook and Twitter, and you can listen to the messages again, and Minister Democrat, download them on YouTube, so it'll be available for you, but it's already available on our Facebook page, so if you go to my page, you can click that link and listen, or again, as I say, the web page or Blog Talk Radio, you can listen again. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, thank you for tuning in, Sister Sherelle. We appreciate it. Amen. We're going to Minister Liberal Democrat. We had a few more on the line that have dropped off. I tell you, you don't know what you miss. I know some people are on their lunch breaks and working and doing different things, but we thank God for those that are able to stay throughout the duration and hear these powerful messages. Amen. Minister Democrat, God bless you. We don't hear your line today. It's quiet over there. Amen. Hallelujah.
Sister Ruby, you over there praying for my phone? Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I thank God. Amen. I was rushing back so I could hear this message today. Amen of God. Doctor, we can call him, amen, Dr. Bishop Grant, because, amen, he reminded me of, like, you know, black people don't like to go to the doctor. You know, we walk around with pains and aches. And say, I don't know why I got this pain, because we just don't like to go to the doctor. And it was just like he reminded us spiritually, we the same way. Amen. The man of God came today. We just don't like to, we be hurting, we be depressed, we be going through. And we talk about everybody else, but we won't check ourselves. And the message today reminds us, check yourself. Check yourself.
Check.
Amen. Go to your appointment. This is about preventive medicine. Amen to God. Amen. If you don't want to be all messed up, check yourself. Amen to God. Hallelujah. Go to the hospital. Amen. In the natural, and go to the hospital spiritually. Check yourself in that Bible. Amen. So he saved somebody's life today. I'll say that. So praise him for Dr. Amen to God. Dr. Grant. Amen. I enjoyed that word. Amen. Reminding us. Amen. He said, like you do with mammograms and then you check yourself. Check the mirror is the Bible. Look how you look in that Bible. Amen. Again, look, say, is this out of order? You do it before you go to an event. You go in that mirror, right? Is your eye right? Is your everything like it's supposed to be?
Thank you, Lord.
Check
Hallelujah.
That Bible mirror. Amen. Before you walk out that door. Amen. 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 I'm going to do that, Bishop. Amen. So I got some issues. Hallelujah. When I look in that mirror. Amen. That spiritual mirror. Amen. Yay. I see myself. Amen. The Bible says, blessed by any means. While preaching, I keep my body under subjection, lest by any means, while preaching to others, I myself become a Catholic.
Away.
So I enjoyed that message, brother preacher. So God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
He signed off. He signed off, but I tell you that was the word I tell you.
Yes, it was.
Yes, God.
The song right there, every round goes higher. Hallelujah. There's no reason for us to be in the same place that we were in 2013. After hearing these messages, we ought to be on the mountaintop. Hallelujah. We ought to be standing on the mountaintop asking the Lord, Lord, what can I do today? Ha! That would please. What can I do today, Lord God? That would help transform or impact somebody else's life. You know, we're so selfish, like Bishop Grant had preached today. Say, we are selfish because it's all about us. All about us, he said, but we looking at the other people, but when it comes to us, we don't see us. Amen, amen. We can only see our brothers and our sisters.
Hallelujah.
But
honey,
my Lord.
God is sending some words for us to take look at ourselves and for us. To examine our own heart. Hallelujah. Guard your heart with all diligence, The Bible says, for out of the heart flows the issues of life. We all got something we got to deal with.
Thank you.
And if you don't, I don't know what world you're living in, because the world I live in, every day I'm met with something I got to deal with.
Come on.
Oh,
my God,
that
my
was
God.
The word today. My God.
It was.
Where do we go? Where do you go from here, Mother Cherry? If you hear a word like that, we got tomorrow. I don't even have a speaker scheduled for tomorrow. Where do we go? What else do we say? Healing for our issue. Lord, have mercy.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, I went to the rock to hide my face, and the rock cried out, no hiding place.
Ain't no hiding place out here.
Yeah, that's a word like that. Hallelujah.
I tell you.
I'd like to thank you all. My sister Dawn is on the line. I want you all to know that your prayers have gone through for her son Jarvis, and Jarvis is home. So I tell you, you know my sister, every time when she get a chance to say something, she asks us to pray for Jarvis.
Jarvis
is home. I meant to share that with you all last week, but it slipped my mind. Amen. But I see her on the line today, so I just want to let the saints know and all of those that listen on the line that
Jarvis is
home, so my sister is happy. Amen.
That's all right.
And continue to keep him in your prayers. Amen. Continue to pray. Remember our upcoming crusade. I'm not going to get into I really don't even have it in me for no announcements or none of that today. I'm just so full in the spirit. So in the mantle, I gotta wait a minute till I'm able to gather my bearings again, because Bishop Grant, he blew my mind today.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Anybody got any announcements? Remember Mother Charity, prayer line, Prophetess Darlene, she's on tonight, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Mother's on every day, Monday through Saturday. Amen. I meant to get on this morning, Mother, but somebody had me on the phone for hours. Knocked some of my sleep. So, glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, but I got some energy today. I'm just full in the spirit listening to that word with Bishop Grant delivered. But God bless you all. We're going to ask Minister. No, let's ask Sister Ruby. She can close us out with a word of prayer. And, God, remember my son. Remember my mother. Remember Andrew. Remember the saints of God. Pray for this upcoming Father Daughters Conference. I'm excited about that.
Yes, I just see
some young people being delivered and set free. I see some lives being changed. Amen. I see a harvest of souls.
Hallelujah.
That's thirsting and hungering after the word of God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. I see it.
If I was able to sing
Tasha Cobb's song. I see the chains falling. I see them and I feel them. Hallelujah. They're falling. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to Jesus.
Glory. So we're going to go to Sister Ruby and let her dismiss us with the word of prayer. Amen. Remember Sister Cammy. Remember Sister Patrice. Remember Evangelist Doris. My friend, Sister Darky Spreen, all these names, remember them. Those that you haven't heard on the line, pray for them. Amen.
People are
going through all over the nation. Amen. So, Sister Ruby, here you go. Glory to God.
Amen. Glory to the Lord. We just thank the Lord, Jesus, for the word. We humble ourselves, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just praise you because your mercy is new each morning to your royal people. Just thank you, first of all, for the word. We just thank you for our host, Evangelist Agent Bernard, that you
yes,
will
Lord.
God and director, and in a new land, Lord Jesus, that you will let her take the land, Hallelujah.
And yes,
bring
in, God.
Lord Jesus. And
oh,
in her, Lord, whatever she needs, you know.
Yes, Lord.
Man in need of. Don't have to cry or complain because you know us. You know our DNA and you know where we live.
That's
and
right.
You know
that's
our
right.
Parents.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Children, husbands or wives. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you allowed us to come on this broadcast, that you thought us worthy to be on this broadcast.
Yeah. Lord,
some
yes,
to bring
Lord.
The word,
uh-huh.
some to preach, some to pray, some intercessors, Lord.
Yes,
Jesus.
God.
Oh, God, help us, help
Bishop,
us.
Hallelujah, that you
yeah.
led on this line, because I keep saying, Lord, everything that's come out of this line is from heaven above down on this earth to your people.
Yes,
hallelujah,
Lord.
And we just thank you and give you the glory. Lord Jesus, we just pray for each and every name that Evangelist Bernard has called out. Lord Jesus,
yes,
you know
Lord.
All the Tammy, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, how she's faithful and
glory.
Hallelujah,
even
Lord
now,
Jesus.
God.
You can go where we can't go.
Yes, Lord.
So you can see where we can't. You know what's going on in each and every home that she has called.
Oh,
Lord
God. Oh, yes.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We ask you to strengthen them. Hallelujah.
Yes,
lead
yes,
them,
Lord.
God, and direct them, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Put them in the way that you would have them to go, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And bring them on the line, Lord Jesus, or let them call Evangelist Bernard to let her know that they're doing all right, that's this or that or whatever, Lord.
Jesus,
we know
help,
that you correct every problem because this
Lord.
These 66 books of the Bible, 39 old and 27
Jesus.
New, stand on your word. Hallelujah. You said, call on you, and you'll show us great and mighty things that we know not. Hallelujah. We just thank you, and we just praise you for this opportunity. And each and everybody was on the line. Hallelujah. In the chat room, Lord, all this Twitter and Facebook and everything that you have
been
on this line, but with a Minister Democrat. Hallelujah. We thank you for each and every soul that you have.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, for the building of the kingdom of yours, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, we just praise you for it. Hallelujah, we praise you for Mother Charity. Hallelujah, be
yes,
so
God.
And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you open up the line because we got people, you got people that can't get out of their homes. Or
yes,
maybe you
Lord.
Got them in the convalescent hospital.
My
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
You got them in the hospital, but they can tune in. Hallelujah, that you make a way, that your word go forth, that they you say, come on this Blog Talk Radio, New Destiny Ministry. And what is the best way, say, a time of reflection. Hallelujah, so we can reflect on your and your mercy and your grace and most of all your love for each and every one of us. And we just praise you and we love you and we love each and every one of you in Jesus' name. And we're knowing that you're going to do great things in
yes,
our lives,
God.
Not only in the Vances of Bernard's life, but the line, the souls and the saints that you have.
Thank you, God.
And I don't see the blessings.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, and the anointing is going higher and higher.
Right.
Hallelujah, and we just
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Minister Democrat, as he traveled, Lord, and
come
back
God.
And run
cover
to get
God.
On. What are we on, Twitter, Facebook, iPod, IT? I say, Lord, have mercy. You just done gave us anointing
yes.
to work this technology, and we just thank you for it and praise
yes,
you,
God.
Lord, and bless him, Lord. Hallelujah,
cover,
going
cover,
in
God.
And out. Hallelujah, Lord.
Yes,
hallelujah, because all he's concerned about is the kingdom work. He don't ask for a dime. All he's concerned about is pleasing you. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and each and every one come on this broadcast. I'm pleasing you and your kingdom work. And we just thank you because you see us. And you sent the word so we can get our heart clean and get it right. Hallelujah. And say, Lord Jesus, it was me standing in the need of prayer. It was me.
God.
It was me with all of this gook and gum on this heart. But Lord Jesus, we thank you because you sent the remedy for us to get to do it and to be received. And we love you and we praise you. And we just give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And that we done. Jesus' mighty name, and amen, and amen, and we pray for Jarvis. We're so excited, Don, that he's home, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
All right.
and her family and each and every one, Amanda's family. I pray for Andrew and her mother and on the grandchildren. Hallelujah. And New Orleans, new ground, new souls, new work. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and hallelujah, and a new building that you can go in, Lord Jesus, and get them souls saved. Out of the highway, out of the hedges, wherever it is, Lord Jesus. Send your laborers, hallelujah, that they're full of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that they're walking in their ministry that you have called them to do. Hallelujah. Outreach, Lord. Give them more anointing. Hallelujah. Let it flow, Lord, that they just pack in because you got them already assigned.
That's
who you're going to have
right.
saved down there in this New Orleans, the ground that you have sent her to go forth. And we thank you and love you and give you
thank
the glory.
You.
And we give you all the praise. Can't praise you enough, Lord.
Yes,
in Jesus'
God.
Mighty name. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 God bless you all. Hallelujah.